You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Jesus said in John 14, 15, and 16, where he talked about the Holy Spirit, he said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I'll send another comforter." Actually, another helper, that the word is paraclete. So Jesus has sent us help. I am not on my own. Aren't you glad? I never preached a sermon on my own in my life. The Holy Spirit was there to help me. I never witnessed anybody on my own. I never prayed on my own. Are you with me? Since I've got saved, I've never been alone a day in my life since I got saved. And the way Jesus is with us, you know, we often say that loosely, but we don't really think it through. He said, "Lo, I'm with you even unto the ends, always even to the ends of the earth." Actually, the way Jesus is with us is through the Holy Spirit. That's how he's with us. Because Jesus is at the right hand of God. We know that too. So how could Jesus be with us? Well, by the Spirit. He said, "It's expedient, profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come. But if I go away, I will send him to you. And he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot know." And he says that in John 14, John 15, John 16. And so we picked up on that after ministering along those lines and went into 1 Corinthians, where we are today, 1 Corinthians 2, and talked about the Spirit's main job. The Spirit's main job is not for you to speak in tongues, although that's the initial evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. I believe that. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19. Even Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, he said, "Forbid not to speak with tongues." The 18th verse of that chapter, he said, "I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all." So if we say that the church of Corinth had a problem speaking in tongues, Paul said he spoke in tongues more than all of them. So speaking in tongues is a good thing when it's in its place. What happens when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and you speak with other tongues? That's a prayer language. That's not a tongue with an interpretation. What you heard today was a tongue and interpretation. That's a gift of the Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 8, 9, and 10. Now, in a church, you need an interpretation, okay? In other words, if I'm publicly speaking, not when we're singing, not when we're worshiping, not when our attention is toward God, but if I'm standing up here talking to you, I need to talk in a language that's understandable. And if I speak in tongues, I need to interpret that because I need to, by my voice, teach others also. That's what Paul says. And so there's a difference between the tongue and interpretation and then what is called speaking in tongues, baptized with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 is not tongue interpretation stuff. Acts 10 was not tongue and interpretation stuff. Acts 19 was not tongue and interpretation stuff. They didn't interpret that. That was prayer language. That was what was released. That was initial evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not the evidence of being saved, the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? But now, having said that, the main job of the Holy Spirit is not for you to speak in tongues. The main job of the Holy Spirit is to teach you, is to reveal truth to you. That is the absolute main job. That's what Jesus said over and over in John 14, 15, and 16. And again, Paul picks up here in the first chapter. He's the guide of the church. He's the leader of the church. He's the one who leads us and guides us and nudges us and pulls us and tugs us. Are you with me? He's the one that causes this stuff called the Bible to jump at us and leap at us out of the pages and burn in our hearts. He's the one that puts the anointing and the fire on it. Are you with me? So the Spirit, now, I do speak in tongues, stay with me. And I pray in tongues a lot. I pray in tongues all the time. And what I owe to that is like cutting off my right arm. But that leads me into truth. That reveals, it teaches me, it keeps me straight, it keeps the word straight, keeps me in the love of God, for one thing. Jude 20 says, you know, pray in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. Keeps me from shooting you. Keeps you from shooting me. Come on, this is Texas. You got to watch it around here, okay? But it keeps me in the love of God. It keeps me straight. Keeps me from anger. Keeps me from unforgiveness as I pray in the Holy Ghost, see? And so that's all wonderful and great. But the number one job, we need to understand this, is to keep us in truth, to keep us straight, keep our doctrine straight. He is the revealer of truth. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't know the truth, it's not a lot of help here, okay? You need the word for the Spirit to reveal. He doesn't just reveal anything. He reveals the word. He didn't even testify himself. He testifies of Jesus. When he comes, he will not testify of himself. He shall testify of me, is what Jesus said. So Paul's talking about the Spirit here in 1 Corinthians 2, 9th verse. He said, I have not seen, neither have ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, hallelujah. I like that. So what's not revealed in the natural, what is not revealed in the natural? What is it that you couldn't be smart enough to get? What is it that you couldn't be strong enough to get? What is it that you couldn't have enough hearing to catch, or enough seeing to see, or smelling to smell, or tasting to taste, or touch to touch? What is it that you couldn't get? The things of God. Okay? The things of God. You can get everything in the natural there is to get in the natural with natural sense, but you can't get the things of God that way. In fact, they don't even make sense in the natural. It's a whole other category of information. It's like seeing as opposed to hearing, hearing as opposed to tasting, tasting as opposed to smell. Those are different dimensions and worlds. Well, the world of God, the things of God, salvation, healing, baptism of the Holy Spirit, are you with me? Answered prayer, those are spiritual things. That's another dimension. Now, if you want to see something, you got to have eyesight. If you want to hear something, you got to have hearing. If you want to smell something, you got to have the faculty of smell. You got to have a nose. Okay. Well, if you want the things of God, you got to have faith. You got to have access into that realm or that dimension, because that's a dimension. If you lose your sight, you can't see anymore. If you lose your hearing, you can't hear anymore. If you lose your faith, oh my. If you lose your faith, you lose access to that world. Are you out there? And so faith and the physical senses, they're not opposed to each other. They just operate in different areas. And it would be crazy for me to try to believe with my hands. That'd be kind of like trying to see you with my ear. Somebody says, look at this, and I turn around my ear to the picture. You'd think, well, there's a place in Terrell for you. They got a place over there, you know. Because you're trying to see with your ear. Well, you don't see with your ear. You see with your eyes. Isn't that right? And you hear with your ears, and you smell with your nose, and you taste with your mouth, and you touch with your hands, and you believe with your heart. With the heart, man believes. With the heart, man believes. Not complicated. It's not deep. It's pretty simple. It's just we tried to make it complicated. And the Spirit is there to reveal it to us and make it real to us. Hallelujah. And help us see. Like spiritual eyeglasses. You know, as you get a little older, sometimes you have to use these. I always say I wear them for appearance. You know, things appear. I'm going to wear them. But, you know, we get to where we need some help. Well, we need help all the time spiritually, and the Holy Spirit is that helper. And what he helps us do is to see spiritually. He helps us to understand these things that I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither in the heart of the man, nor have entered into the heart of man. The things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Wow. So you might hear something and it was revealed to you by your ears. What eye hath not seen, what nose hath not smelt, what mouth has not tasted, what hands have not felt, God hath revealed unto us by hearing. Amen. Sound is heard. Okay. Well, the things of God are revealed to us by the Spirit. Hello. It's just like a sixth sense. You know, Brother Osteen wrote a book years ago called The Sixth Sense of Faith. I like that. It's like a sixth sense. We have five senses in the natural, but there's another sense. There's another dimension. There's another world. If you could just draw a chart and see it in your mind's eye, you know, there's a world of sight. And it overlaps. There's a world of sound over here, too. And there's a world of smell over here. These are dimensions. They're worlds that you exist in, that you move through all the time. There's a world of feeling. Are you with me? These are dimensions. They're worlds where things exist. Sounds exist in the world of sound. And a guy that can't hear and a woman can't hear is cut off from that world altogether and has no access to it and cannot hear sound. Are you with me? Because they have not the faculty of hearing. Well, there's a world of the Spirit. It's not deep. It's not complicated. It's just another dimension, another world. And they're real things, but if you don't believe, you can't contact them. It's like closing your eyes when someone's trying to show you something. You just close your eyes. I can't see it. And you want to just slap them. Say, of course you can't. You got your eyes closed. Open your eyes. Are you out there? But we do that, don't we? Somebody will say something spiritual and go, oh, I don't, I can't believe that. I don't believe that. Well, that's right. You don't believe it. You choose not to believe it. You are shutting your faith down. Just shut it down. And you'll never see it till you do believe. Are you with me? Because seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but God hath revealed them unto us by them to us. Them things. Them things he just got through talking about. The things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Listen, you don't need faith to get everything this world offers. But you need faith to get what God offers. You want peace, you gotta believe to get peace. You want to be saved, you gotta believe to get saved. You want to get full of the Holy Ghost? You gotta believe to get that. Those are things God prepares for those that love him. See? The things of God only come by faith. They only come by the Spirit. The Spirit reveals them to us, and sometimes they're way off. I understand that. Sometimes we're not feeling it. But you know, that's no big deal. I've taught on faith and the difference of faith and senses before, and you know that. You know, when I get through here, and I'll get through here sometime. That door, most of y'all came in that door, some of you came in that door over there. You will get up and you will lock your eyes on that door. And you will head toward that door. And you will not stop on the way and get discouraged because you can't feel it. And you won't give up because you can't smell it. And you won't go back and sit down because you can't hear it, smell it, taste it, touch it. Because your eyes see it. Although it's far off, your eyes see it. And it's real. It's real, although you can't smell it. And although you're not feeling it right now. Are you out there? It's real, because you see it over there. Yeah. And if you will walk by sight and not by feeling, you will finally feel it. If you stay with it long enough. If you don't give up and don't turn around. Because it's real. It's there. It's waiting on you. You just got to walk toward it. See? And finally, you will get it. I'll use the example of driving down the road. If you're driving down the road and you see a car get over in your lane coming at you pretty fast, you don't sit there and take a vote on your senses. Well, I believe in democracy. Well, I don't believe in democracy when it comes to things of God. Would you rather be in a majority or the minority during a flood? How about Judgment Day? Democracy didn't work real well there. God says something. It's true. He doesn't need your vote. That went over real big. But think about it. You're driving down the road, car crosses over your lane, comes at you, it's coming fast. You don't go. No. You react because you trust this sense of sight, although all your other senses don't detect it. They're not even operative in it. But you know well enough that if you don't move, you will taste that car coming at you. You will feel that car. You will smell that car. That car will be all over you and in you and everywhere else. Because you know what you're seeing is true. And so you move, you react to it. You hear someone honking their horn outside the house. You can't see through the wall, but you know the sound. You trust your ears. You've been around long enough to know what that is. Somebody's out front. Maybe the mailman with a big package. Might be a certified check for $10,000. You better get out there. You don't see it. You don't hear it. But you hear it. You hear it. When I face that way, God's revealed stuff, things to us, and we see it afar off, and I don't feel it. Maybe we got prayed for down here. Maybe we came down here and got prayed. We all laid hands on you, and you walked away, and you didn't feel any different. Well, you're trying to believe with your hands, aren't you? That's what it sounded like to me. You're trying to believe with your feelings. You need to believe that we believe God, and you believe God, and God did what he said, and the feeling's going to come. We're not going to give up. We're going to walk by faith and not by sight, and if we don't turn around, we keep going, we're going to head right into that thing, and we will feel it, and it will manifest. Are you with me? That's just a sense. That's how senses work. We do it every single day with our five senses. For some reason, we just don't use any sense at all when it comes to our sixth sense. And that's what God's saying here. He's saying, look, God's revealed something to us that our other five senses don't. Our five senses are not opposed to faith. Faith is above them, not against them. Faith is another realm. Make sense? So don't think that your body's lying to you. Your body's not lying to you. Your body just can't detect it. It will eventually if you will walk toward what your faith is revealing to you. That's why we say walk by faith and not by sight. That's what the scripture says. Amen? So how do we know that? The Spirit has revealed it to us. The Spirit reveals spiritual things. That's what he's saying here. Y'all catching this? Oh, hallelujah. Man, this is good stuff. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting excited about my own preaching. Woo! Can you say amen, somebody?
Amen.
All right, good. Y'all help me now. Don't leave me all by myself up here. But God revealed them the things that he's prepared for us. God's revealed them to us by Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Oh, I like that. For what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but by the Spirit of God. Think about it. I don't know what's going on in your head. I have no idea. I don't know if you're thinking about dinner. I don't know if you're thinking about what a great message this is. I don't know if you may be thinking about something in particular you need to believe God for. Could be. I don't know. See, I don't know because I'm not you, and you are inside that body. Your spirit in your body. That knows the things that, if when you start talking to me now, you come out of your spirit, I begin to know things about you, because no man knows the spirit of man except the spirit of man, the things of man, says spirit of man which is in him. And so you are a spirit. And so when you begin to talk to me, all of a sudden I start knowing things about you because you revealed it to me by your spirit. See, you spoke to me out of your spirit, because you're not your body, you're not your eyes, you're a spirit. You're not a human having a spiritual experience. You're a spirit having a human experience. You're walking around looking at those eyes, walking around in that body, and one day you'll step out of that body and you'll go to heaven. And your body will go to the ground until that trumpet sounds. Woo! And then that corruptible will put on incorruption, that mortal put on immortality, death will be swallowed up alive. But you, see, you're alive. You're just going to step out of this like an old suit of clothes. At what we call death. Boom, right up into heaven. Be absent from the body to be present with the Lord, is what Paul said. Good stuff, amen? And we'll come back and get this body, but the real you is inside. And so you look at a person, they look pretty nice, maybe they're dressed pretty nice, and then they get to talking, and you think, wow, he don't look so sharp anymore, did he? Thought that guy's pretty sharp, you know, or just vice versa. Somebody you just discount because of the way they look, and then they start talking, you think, wow, what a beautiful spirit. What a wonderful person. The real you is not you, the body you're in. It's not the clothes you wear. It's you. It's you on the inside. See? And so when you begin to speak, I begin to hear about you. Well, that's what God's Spirit's for. He's to reveal God to us. God's Spirit. Out of His Spirit, He speaks to us. He ministers to us. He talks to us. About God, about God's desires and His will and what He wants you to do and me to do. By His Spirit, we know the things that are freely given to us of God. For what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but by the Spirit of God. So we need the Spirit of God to know God. There are people that teach in seminaries, professors that teach Bible that don't know God. That could tell you all the facts and figures of culture and custom, and they could tell you the geography of the battles that took place and history of contemporary place, and quote scripture and tell you the structure of the Bible and tell you exactly what Jesus said. Don't even believe in Jesus. You know what? They don't know anything about the things of God, because they're all in the natural. It's all up in the head. It's just deadhead talking to deadhead, you know. And yet, it's the Spirit that makes it alive. It's the Spirit that caused it to come alive. I can get up here and just read Scripture. I can just start up here and say, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was out forward and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the evening and morning were the first day. That was all Scripture. No anointing. See, when Peter preached, their heart burned in them. When Jesus walked with those two and rode to Emmaus, it says, did not our heart burn within us? Burn. So you need that anointing. That's why the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. That's what Jesus said. And that's why he's called me to preach the gospel. You know, you can't do what I do. I can't do what you do. You say, well, I just think I'll just be a preacher. I'm sorry, honey, it doesn't work that way. In fact, it's tough enough when you're called. You don't want to try it if you're not. Okay. Are you out there? It's a gift. It's an anointing. It's the Spirit. The Spirit's on you to do something. I don't know what it is. We're all gifted in some way. Some people are gifted to make money. That's good too. There's nothing wrong with that. Put it in the ministry. Be faithful to that gift that God's given you. Some people are gifted to teach. Some people are gifted to encourage others and bless others. Okay. But we're all nothing without the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives life. The letter killeth. Dead letter. Just speaking the words. Just saying, reading Scripture. Dead letter. Without the Spirit, there's no life. The letter kills. But the Spirit gives life. So he says this, what man knoweth things man say is spirit man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but by or save the Spirit. It's the Spirit that causes us to know. I like that. By his Spirit that dwelleth in us, we know that we are the children of God. That's what Scripture says. I know that. I know that by the Spirit. Then he goes on and says, now we have received. I like that. Not next week, not last week, not one day. Now we have received. We have received. We have received not the spirit of the world. You and I are now Christians. We're believers, okay? We've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we have received the Spirit, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Wow. See, I think because we're not yielding to the Spirit, and some churches don't, God bless churches, we're pro-church. I love Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Catholic. If they name the name of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Love them. Love them. But sadly, some churches de-emphasize the Spirit, minimize the Spirit, and we need to be magnifying and maximizing the Spirit, because without the Spirit, we don't know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know, it's churches that really are strong and say the gifts of the Spirit or the Holy Ghost or that are also strong in healing and answered prayer. It's churches that are not so strong in the spiritual things, generally aren't real strong, generally not at all, in the gifts of the Spirit. And generally when they pray, God bless them, they love God and are going to heaven, but generally when they pray, they're really not believing that God will heal them. They don't know whether he will or not, and they always say, if it be thy will. And if God heals them, fine. If he doesn't, well, it wasn't his will. Are you with me? Why? Because the things of God are revealed by the Spirit. And if you tone down on the Spirit, you're toned down on revealing the things of God to you. You're toning down on seeing clearly what God wants you to have. Are you with me? Norbert Hayes used to say this, and it was always really funny. He came out of a Baptist background. John Osteen came out of a Baptist background. And we love Baptists. God bless Baptists. And he said, Baptists will get you saved. They believe in salvation. I'm telling you, they get down there. They'll tell you how to get saved. You'll get born again. You accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you'll get saved. They'll get you saved, my brother and sister. But if you get sick, they're going to put your name on a blackboard and you will die. I'm just saying what Norbert Hayes said, okay? Stay with me. God bless Baptists. I love Baptists, and they're not all that way. I understand that. But you can believe in being saved from sin and not believe in healing. Amen. And yet, God does both. In fact, he forgives all of our iniquities and he heals all of our diseases. Amen. Are you with me? And the Bible very plainly says this. It says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. Amen? And we do communion. Every time we receive communion, we take the bread that was broken for us. By his stripes you were healed. And we take the cup, which represents the blood, our salvation. Amen? In fact, that's what 1 Peter 2:24 says. He whom his own self, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body, that we being dead to sins should live to righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Oh, hallelujah. Excuse me for getting excited. So really, it's no different with God, healing, and salvation. But see, if we de-emphasize the Holy Spirit, if we minimize the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one Jesus sent to take his place, out of honor and respect for Jesus, we ought to yield to the Spirit because he's the one Jesus sent to take his place. I will not be with you forever, but if I go away, I will send you another helper, the Holy Spirit, and he will testify of me. Wow. And according to what Paul's saying, he won't just do that. He'll show you and reveal to you the things of God, the things God does. Are you tired of what you're doing? You've had your show over and over and over. You don't want an encore? You want to pull the curtain down on it and let God perform? I would a whole lot rather see his show. That's what Elizabeth told Mary when she walked into her room. in her house, and Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. The Bible says the babe leaped in her womb, and she began to prophesy and talked about Mary and says, "Blessed is she who believes, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her by the Lord." Wouldn't you like a performance of the things of God that he's told you? Well, if you'll believe, you'll get a performance of the things he told you. And he'll perform. He'll show up and he'll show out. Always does. But the Spirit takes a spirit to reveal that, to show us that, to cause us to see that. Now we have received the Spirit, not which is of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. That we might know. Out of wondering and into the light. Out of wrong teaching and into the right. Out of stagnant pools and into the flow. Out of wondering into the know. That's where God wants us. Amen. Step off into the light. Awake thou that sleeps, as Christ shall give you light. So the Spirit is here to show us the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Aren't you glad we speak about it? Amen. You know, if we never preached on it, your faith wouldn't increase in it. You often say, well, you know, we never see healing in our church. Well, how many sermons do you hear on it? If you don't preach on it, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. God, the Bible says, manifests his word through preaching. Think about it. He makes it known, he manifests it. Did you know anytime we preach on anything, we get manifestations of it? Because he manifests his word through preaching. Whatever you center in on, focus in on, whatever you dig into, that's what's going to start coming alive and happening in your life. And so preaching's the same way. So we begin to preach on something. If you preach on the Holy Spirit, you get moves of the Spirit. If you preach on healing, you get healing. You see, you get what you preach on. And so he's saying here that the Spirit of God has given to us to know the things of God, which things we speak. Which thing? What things? What is he saying we speak here? The things that are freely given to us of God. My job is to, as a messenger from heaven, is to share with you what God has made available to you. My job is to stand up here and tell you what God has to say to you and what God has prepared for you and what God wants for you. That's my job. That's what I do. What he wants you to do and what he's offered you. And without the Spirit, I can't really do that. I can't clearly show you that. You know why they didn't receive Jesus? It's real simple. Real simple. Acts, the 7th chapter, Stephen penned it. After he gave this long oration about how God had moved through the Old Testament, Moses came down to Jesus, and he said, "You stiff neck and uncircumcised of heart, you do always resist the Holy Ghost." And because they resisted the Spirit, they didn't see Jesus. They didn't accept Jesus. They didn't receive Jesus. In fact, they took him out and stoned him as soon as he said that. It made them so mad, they put their hands over their ears and started going, "Nah, nah, 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 nah." Don't want to hear it, because it was truth. They didn't want to hear truth. And then they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, wouldn't you like to be in a dignified religion like that, where there's dissension, and they come running, they jump over the chairs and grab you and bite your ear off? Wow. That's what it says. Then they threw him out in the front and stoned him. And as they stoned him, he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Whew. He went right up into glory. Man, but the problem was they resisted the Holy Spirit. You don't want to resist the Holy Spirit, because you resist the Holy Spirit, you resist your avenue to truth and avenue to the things of God. You cut yourself off from the things of God if you do that. You need to spend time listening to the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, and yielding yourself. Be quiet. Be still. Know that I am God. That's what Scripture says. So he says, we have received, 13th verse, which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. This is not about how smart I am or how smart you are. This is not about our great intellect, okay? Thank God we're not at the mercy of our intellect. Amen? This is about the things of God, as stated in the Word of God, as revealed by the Spirit of God. So we need to get in the Spirit, and we need to get out the Word. Amen? We dig in the Word with the Spirit, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I like that. That would be like if you had a spiritual experience, or you had a dream, or you had a vision, or you had a nudge, or you had a pull or a tug. You know what you do? You compare that with the Word. You compare spiritual things with spiritual. The words that I speak into you, they are spirit, they are life. John 6:63, Jesus said that. And so you know whether your dream's from God if it's in line with the Word. Amen? This is not what man's wisdom teaches. Well, I think, well, it doesn't matter what you think. Well, it doesn't matter what you think either. What matters is what God says. So we want to compare all of our spiritual experiences with spiritual truth. Right? So if God spoke to you to do something, you need to line it up with the Word. And if you feel that you want to do something, you need to line that up with the Word. And if it doesn't line up with the Word, you don't need to do that.
Amen.
Amen. You do not need to do that. And I say it jokingly, you know, people come up with all kinds of wild things. Well, God told me I was going to have his wife, you know. Well, I know that's not God. That's just the devil. That's your flesh talking. And people, see, this is a difference between what we call, stay with me, what we call wild charismatic, which we're charismatic and Pentecostal, and wild charismatic, and then people that are really word-based or word-of-faith-based. And I don't want to, I'm loose on labels because for every one that's right, there's one that's wrong in any denomination, in any group. But the wild-eyed charismatic, okay, will always say, God told me, okay? And whereas the church has really based in the Word, will may say, God told me, but they'll show you in the Scripture where it says that. They'll say, the Word says, and God spoke to me. And many times you'll talk to the, and I'm charismatic, okay? I'm talking about, see, I'm in this family. I can talk about my family. You don't talk about my mama, but I can talk about my mama, okay? It's my mama. So I am charismatic, I am Pentecostal, I am Word of Faith, I'm all that, okay, I'm in that circle. And there are some abuses. There need to be correction. Are you with me? We want the Spirit, but we don't want to go beyond the Word. We don't want to go beyond the Word. You can't go beyond the Word because you always get in trouble. It doesn't mean he won't show you something that's not specifically in the Word, but it won't contradict the Word. You follow me? I mean, he might give you direction or something, but you know, it's not going to contradict the Word. It won't do that. So we'll always say, well, the Word says. The Word says. It's kind of like the difference politically. It's like a political book written by a liberal and a political book written by a conservative. The difference is that conservative books have footnotes. Okay. Throw that out there. You compare spiritual things with spiritual. You have a spiritual pulling tug. I believe the Lord's saying this, or he's pulling me this direction. Well, I'm going to have to line it up with this first, okay? Let's make sure that's the Word. I've had people prophesy over me. Are you kidding me? I remember at Lakewood Church, I had three different people prophesy over me in 1 week. And every single one of those prophecies were different callings. There's no way they were all the same. One of them said I was going to get a motorhome and I was going to go minister to people, you know, that were brown in color. And, well, I don't want a motorhome. God never told me to get a motorhome. Are you with me? And, you know, and I just appreciated it and told them, fine, you know, and go on. And you got to judge prophecy. Just because someone has an unction and says something, you got to watch direction, especially when they start telling you what you're going to do. Kind of like Lester Summerall said one time, there's a guy in his church, or a couple came to his church and came up to him and says, so-and-so prophesied us, we need to go to India. What do you think? He said, well, I think you ought to take them with you. They said, why? Well, you're going to have to hear God when to come back, aren't you? I mean, if you don't have to have someone tell you when to go, how are you going to know when to come back? If somebody prophesies something over you, it should already be in your spirit. It's a confirmation. Isn't it right? I mean, it confirms something that's already there. Something already dealt with. God's already dealt with you about it. And he's come along and he's confirmed that. But not something brand new you never heard of. Oh, so-and-so told me I'm going to do this. Well, if you've been praying about it, has that been on your heart? Well, no, not really. But they said, well, it doesn't matter what they said. God is a spirit. You are a spirit. You can hear God. Gifts confirm what God says. That's why we have the Spirit, so we'll know things, see? So, I mean, people prophesy over me all day long. If it's not already in my spirit or I don't have a witness or something, I'll just put it on the shelf. Maybe it happened one day out or not, but I'm not going to act on it unless it's in my spirit. And many times God has confirmed what he had in my spirit. Many times, countless times. Someone said things are right on, spot on, as we say. But, you know, okay. Y'all still with me? Still love me? You know I love you, and I'm up here to help. I just want to help you. I've seen people get, you know, out of whack with this stuff and then seen people just quit altogether, and that's wrong. We want the movement of the Spirit. We want the gifts of the Spirit. We want all those to happen. But we want to do it right. We don't want to get wacky with it, you know. Okay, so the Spirit's given to, boy, this is good stuff. I'm just going to have to quit here in a minute. I wasn't knocking on wood. This is plexiglass. I don't believe in knocking on wood, okay? Don't mistake that. So he says, now we receive the Spirit, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak. Aren't you glad we do speak about it in this church? Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, with the Word. But the natural man, hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or understood, spiritually understood or seen. So a lot of what we do is crazy in the natural. I mean, you talk to people about healing, they'll think you're nuts. You talk to them about the gifts of the Spirit, they really talk. Think you're nuts. You think everybody loves you because you're a Christian. Listen, you put a t-shirt on, it says, I speak in tongues on the front, I cast out devils in the back, and you walk down the street to Will's Point. They will think you're crazy. Are you with me? I'm not saying go do that. I'm just saying the natural man doesn't receive the things of God. Even our natural mind has trouble with it sometimes. Wow. Sometimes it's so wild we think, no way. But see, if God said it, it's the truth. God said you can do it. Hallelujah. You are who God says you are. You have what God says you have, and you can do what God says you can do. But you're going to have to turn your brain off and turn your spirit on. Amen? So some things we learn here, and I'll wrap this up. Okay, this help anybody? Okay, and this is just one reference. We're talking about the Spirit. Main job of the Spirit is to teach us that we might know some things. To keep us straight. See, keep us straight. Just from these verses alone, I just wrote some things down. Our natural senses do not detect the things of God. The things of God are revealed by the Spirit of God, not by our hands, not by our seeing or smelling. And God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. He has. If you listen, He has. You just kind of, you're dampening that voice. You need to fan the flames, that voice. Spirit's trying to talk to us. Amen? And He has revealed to those things by the Spirit of God, and we understand them that way. We understand them spiritually, not naturally. And the reason we have the Spirit of God, according to Paul, what he's writing here, is that we might know these things that are freely given to us of God. So why would I want to minimize the Spirit? Because the Spirit's the one that reveals to me the things of God. So the Spirit of God is the teacher. He's the one that teaches us these things. We're educated for 12 years in school and 4 more years in college, 8 if you're going into some profession, all in the natural. We need spiritual education, and we need a spiritual professor, and that is the Spirit, amen? We don't stand and we don't teach a man's wisdom, thank God. I'm not up here just telling you good stories and a good song and a good poem and a good, you know, and then a prayer and go home. We're up here by the Holy Ghost, teaching under a gift that I have, that God gave me. I didn't call myself, He called me. And, you know, and I'm faithful to that gift. But I know that it's Him. I know it's not me. I'm not any better than anybody else. I'm just like you. I'm like anybody else. I just have a call on my life. That's God. That's not me. Don't you elevate preachers and don't you elevate me. Don't you do that. I'm just like you. I have a call. Honor the gift. Amen? Honor the gift and pull from the gift. Maybe you don't like my hair. That's okay. Listen to what I'm saying. Are you with me? Maybe you don't like my shoes. I don't know. But you got to get past all that. You got to get to the gift. Get to the gift and pull on the gift. So I stand in teaching God's Spirit, not in the wisdom of man. And the things of God, salvation, healing, baptism, Holy Spirit, gifts of Spirit, miracle, etc., they are foolish in the natural. Don't kid yourself. Not everybody's going to jump on your bandwagon, especially if they don't know the Lord. Expect them to think you're a little crazy. Okay? And you might be a little crazy But, you know, I was pretty crazy before I got saved. So people say, why are you so crazy for Jesus? Well, you know, everybody's crazy for somebody. I used to be a nut for the world. Now I'm a nut for Jesus. Whose nut are you? Well, there's people won't like me. I don't care what you believe, people won't like you. I don't care what you stand for, people won't like you. You're not going to get everybody to like you. So why don't you just go for getting God to like you? Amen? Okay. And all these six verses that we just read here, 9, 10, 11, 12, yeah, six verses we just read, they all have to do with the things of God. They come from God. They're given freely. They're for those that love him. They're understood spiritually. They're foolish in the natural, and they're spiritually received and understood. Awesome. Good stuff. Amen. Amen. Stand up, give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Praise God.